Samave.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 18. Lord Balaram slays the demon Vilamba. Text number 15. Kavachit. Cha Dardura Lavai Dividhai Upahasakai Udachit Syandolikaya Karhichit Nripacheshtaya Kvachitcha Dardura Plavai Vividar Rupahasakai Kadachit Syandolikaya Arachin Rupacheshtaya Kvachit Tadadara Plavar Vividar Upahasakai Kadachit Shandalikaya Arachindripacheshtaya Kvachit Chadabdara Plavar Vividar Upahasakai Kadachit Shandalikaya Karachandripacheshtaya Kavachit.
Sometimes.
Cha.
And.
Dardura.
Like frogs.
Plavai.
With jumping.
Vividai.
Various.
Upahasakai.
With jokes.
Kadachit.
Sometimes. Syandalakaya. With riding in swings.
Karachit.
And sometimes.
Nirpacheshtaya.
With pretending to be kings. Translation and purport. They would sometimes jump around like frogs, sometimes play various jokes, sometimes ride in swings, and sometimes imitate monarchs. Purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains the word nripa cheshtaya as follows. In Vrindavan, there was a particular place on the riverbank where people who wanted to cross the Jamuna would pay a small tax. At times, the cowherd boys would assemble in this area and prevent the young girls of Vrindavan from crossing the river, insisting that they had to pay a customs duty first. Such activities were full of joking and laughter. Om Agyana Chimadandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So that is the actual position. Ananda Mayo Vyasa. The actual position of a living entity is to always be tasting nectar, always be blissful. As we see a sample here of the great happiness and joy of Krishna and the cowherd boys, Balaram and company, Krishna Balaram and company. How joyful it is. Simply recreation, susukam. So this is the natural position of a living being. But because we were envious of the Lord, now we are suffering so much unhappiness, so much misery. The spiritual body never gets sick, it never gets old, and it never dies. That is the original form of every living entity, spiritual body. So why would one give up that eternal, youthful, immortal body to get one of these ridiculous monstrosities called a material body? I mean, it's a monstrosity. It's a horrible thing, actually. You have to go to the toilet when you don't want to. You know, you have to keep bathing it because it's just so dirty thing. You have to keep washing it, bathing it again and again and again, bathing it, and then it gets old. No matter what you do, it gets old and sick and dies. So, Krishna is very kind. He's giving us this facility that we can regain our svarup, our original spiritual form. That is Krishna's great kindness upon him. Actually, naturally Krishna is kind to us. Just like the father is very kind naturally to the child. There is natural affection. You see, he has produced a child. The child is coming from him and the mother. So there is a natural affection. So, the living entities, they are all coming from Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhava matak sarvam prabhata. So there is a natural affection of Krishna for all of his parts and parcels. Naturally. It's not some artificial thing that out of duty Krishna has to love us. No. Spontaneously, naturally, Krishna loves us like anything because we are his children. And he wants us to enjoy with him in the spiritual world. In these wonderful pastimes, his cowherd boys, cowherd girls, calves, monkeys. So many devotees there are taking on different identities in the spiritual world. Flutes. You can be Krishna's flute also. Actually, the bamboos in Vrindavan, they are feeling very, very happy. They are totally alive in that one of our family members is getting Krishna's lips so much. They're very enlivened and happy. We are bamboos. The bamboo family in Vrindavan, they're very enlivened because one of their family members is always getting the lips of Krishna. Actually, every rasa, whatever your rasa is in the spiritual world, you think that is the best rasa. By external analysis, scientific observation of the acharyas, the conjugal rasa is the most complete rasa because it includes all other flavors within it. But the rasa tasted by each and every devotee, he feels, or she feels, this is the very best possible relationship. The flute is thinking he's better off than the gopis, because he's getting the lips more than the gopis of Krishna. So the point is, nobody's dissatisfied. Oh, I have to be a flute, I can't be a gopi. Actually, Prabhupada explained in one take. I told this to a sannyasi one time, and he said, no, where's the evidence for that? But then I sent the email from the database. Prabhupada is saying that you can actually change your rasa also in the spiritual world. There's no, if you want to actually be something else, you can. It's not that you're stuck. Oh, I have to be this, I have to be that. You can be whatever you want to be in the spiritual world, but generally, they don't change their rasa because they feel this is the best position to be in. I have the best situation for having a relationship with Krishna. The very best, the ultimate. My relationship is the ultimate relationship. Everyone feels that they have the very best of all possible relationships. And they seem, how can Krishna accommodate everyone like that? But actually, he does that in Dwarka also. He has those 16,108 queens. And each and every queen is thinking, because when Krishna goes as one person every day to sit on the throne and do his administrative activities, and in the evening when he comes home, he divides into 16,108 Krishnas and goes to each and every palace. But the queen is thinking, Krishna is coming only to my palace. She is thinking, oh, those poor other queens. Well, what can I do? He loves me more. In this way, each and every queen is feeling that Krishna is her exclusive property. So Krishna has that expert way of totally satisfying each and every one of his devotees. Totally satisfying each and every one of his devotees. Krishna totally gives himself to those persons who totally give themselves to Krishna. Totally, completely. Sometimes we may wonder, because we see in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, there is no one more dear to me than the one who preaches this message of Bhagavad Gita, nor will there ever be one more dear. You're thinking, well, there's so many devotees out there preaching, distributing Bhagavad Gitas, so many devotees, how each and every one of them could be the most dear, and no one more dear than that one devotee. You see, but Krishna has shown in Dwarka. He's not limited like you and I. That we can give our love and affection in a limited way to someone. Krishna can unlimitedly give love and affection to each and every one of the infinite number of living entities who are his parts and parcels. He reciprocates according to the degree of surrender of that devotee. Ye yatamam prapadyante tamastitaiva bhajamyaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, to that extent I reward them. So, how much Krishna do you want? That's up to us to decide. We make that decision at every minute. How much of Krishna's association we actually want? How much we want to be connected with him? How close do we want to be to Krishna? We have a tendency to want to be dear to someone. That's why we may, you know, we make some close friends, we get married, or if somehow we can't make it with human beings, we get a dog so we can be dear to the dog. Everybody wants to be dear to someone. That is a natural tendency of the living being. He wants to be dear to someone. Pet parakeet, you know. He chirps when I come home. But that propensity will never be satisfied until we learn how to become dear to Krishna. Krishna Priya. That is the perfection of becoming dear. And how do we become dear to Krishna? Krishna told Arjuna in the Adi Purana, the one who is trying to be dear to me is not dear to me. But the one who is dear to my devotee, the one who is dear to the one who is dear to me, that is the one who is actually dear to me. So we simply have to learn how to become dear to the devotees, how to become dear to Guru, how to become dear to the Vaishnavas, you see. How to become dear to Prabhupada, Prabhupada Priya, you see. How can we please Prabhupada? How can we please our authorities? How can we please our spiritual master? How can we please our devotee friends? You see? The more we can be pleasing to the Vaishnavas, we become pleasing to Krishna. Krishna is to us right now in our covered position. He's a distant concept. Well, Krishna is out there somewhere in Goloka Vrindavan. Someday I hope to get there. He's in the deity, but when I see the deity, to my dull eyes, I see a marble statue. Actually, Krishna is here. but we are not fully seeing Krishna. But Krishna also becomes present in the form of Guru and of Vaishnavas. So we can have a very real, tangible, you know, give and take relationship, moment by moment, day by day relationship with the devotees. And this, the more we become dear to the devotees of Krishna, you see, and that, and Rupa Goswami has given us that method, the six loving exchanges. I remember when that came out, when my journey to ISKCON, that book was not there. Then we got some Xerox copy of the manuscript that was soon to be published, and I was so enlivened to see that verse about the loving exchanges. Yes. I immediately understood, yes, this is the real thing. Loving exchanges between devotees. This is the real thing. Really, when it comes down to it, that's how this movement grows. When someone feels the loving, when someone is touched by the loving mercy of a devotee, then they become inspired to join. Actually, we're looking for people who don't. We want someone that will not exploit us. We're all looking for love. We're starved for pure love in this world. You see, everyone in this world is just trying to exploit us, take advantage of us. So this is the one commodity that ISKCON has. We have. Prabhupada has given us pure, unconditional love. If we can learn, I mean to say, to the extent that we can manifest in our own mentality, our own attitude, our own words, and our own actions, that pure, unconditional love of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. You see, to the extent that we can purely represent, I mean to say, Srila Prabhupada, to that extent our movement will actually be a success. Prabhupada has the Krishna Shakti to inundate the whole world in a tsunami of Krishna Prem. So to the extent that we can represent that unbelievably sweet mercy of Srila Prabhupada in our dealings with each other, and our dealings with the general public, to that extent, everybody in this movement will be happy and the whole world will join us. And that spiritual revolution predicted by Krishnadas Kaviraj will manifest more and more and more and more. He's predicted that this Krishna consciousness movement will inundate every single person in the entire world. He's predicted it. It's right there. It's a shloka in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That everyone will drown in this ocean of Krishna consciousness movement. Everyone. Even those who are lame, invalid, and blind, he said. So, it's not pie in the sky to think that, someday the high court judges can wear tilak. Not pie in the sky. It's predicted by Krishnadas Kaviraj. So, how to make that day come? To the extent that we actually capture or take full advantage of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the mercy of Prabhupada's representatives, his disciples, his grand disciples, etc., the more we can learn to take advantage of that mercy flowing from the lotus mouth of Srila Prabhupada, from the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, coming through his books, coming through his representatives, coming through these wonderful tirthas. I've just been absolutely delighted. Now, this is my last day here, but I've been absolutely delighted to be living in Prabhupada House. Because Prabhupada is here. Just like Prabhupada told that he is always living in his rooms in Radha Damodar Temple in Vrindavan. The same thing is true. Prabhupada is living. He's residing here eternally. As long as this is maintained, bhakti spirit, the Prabhupada Nugas, Srila Prabhupada is living here in this house. Prabhupada. He's present. He's actually fully present. So I've been really, my wife and I are both very, very blessed that you've allowed us, in spite of our all of our, you know, many offenses and aparads and contaminated qualities, you've allowed us to stay here and get purified by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. It's inconceivable mercy to have this opportunity to be here with all of you who are so devoted to Srila Prabhupada, so wonderfully representing him in all of your activities, in your attitudes, your speech, your actions. All of you, we're seeing, you're so nicely representing Prabhupada in the mercy of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the wonderful, joyful feeling of being here is actually an extension of these divine pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. The activities in the temple, this is also its divine pastimes. Kirtan going on, deity worship, preaching, prasadam distribution, orchestrating the whole thing. There's also management going on in Vrindavan. You see, Purnamasi, Vrinda Devi, there's management going on there too. So even the management is a transcendental pastime of bliss. Keeping the whole, orchestrating the whole thing. So we understand and appreciate what opportunity we've actually gotten. We should never forget how fortunate we are. Sometimes we take it for granted. We really forget how fortunate we are to be here at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes we just take it for granted. We have to beat our minds with shoes 100 times in the morning, and in the evening you go to that closet and get out that broomstick, give it another 100 good whaps. Beat that mind 100 times in the evening with a broomstick. To remind ourselves that this is the greatest opportunity to be under the shelter of the lotus feet of His divine grace Srila Prabhupada and His wonderful, wonderful followers. This is the greatest opportunity one can have in millions and millions of lifetimes. So let us fully capitalize on it. Let us fully taste it by pure absorption in bhakti, and let us inundate the entire world in it. So, are there any questions? Will I tell more? No. I'm not an expert on Vrinda Devi and Purnamasi. I do know one thing. Vrinda Devi didn't. She refused to leave Vrindavan. During the Aurangzeb, Maharaj Jai Singh, he found out some inside information that Aurangzeb was coming to Vrindavan to destroy the temples. So he came rushing in there and he beat Aurangzeb. He came in there before Aurangzeb and got Vrinda Devi and was taking her to Jaipur. And along with other deities, of course, Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Gopinath. So Vrinda Devi, he took her all the way as far as Kamyavan. And she became so heavy they couldn't budge her. She refused to leave. The other deities agreed to be taken outside of Vrindavan, Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, Radha Madan, Radha Damodar. But Vrinda Devi wouldn't budge. I'm staying here. So she is there today being worshipped in Kamyavan. That's one thing I know about Vrinda Devi. I was just there praying for her mercy, begging her to let me be be a resident in her dham that she manages. And actually we worship her in the front of Tulsi Devi every morning. We actually pray that, you know, please let me be a resident of Vrindavan. We sing that every morning. So, Vrindadevi is very wonderful. She is very kind. And if we humbly bow down at her feet, water her in a mood of bhakti, she will bless us with eternal residence in Sri Vrindavan. So that's a little bit I know about Vrindadevi. I'm not a Vrindadevi expert, nor a Purnamasi expert, but that's some little things I know. Any other questions? Yeah.
To what extent can we see that in the early stages of devotional service, like I'm talking about really early stages, like just a bhakti,
To what extent do we see the early days? The what?
When you haven't been in devotion for very long, like myself, then you know that the will.
When you haven't been practicing very long?
Not a very long
okay.
time. Okay. And I'm just asking that, like, we're still experiencing some karma.
Okay.
But is that correct? I mean, something can happen.
Yes, karma is still there.
Yeah, it's still happening.
Actually, karma has taken off, practically totally removed at the time of initiation. But before that, the karma is still there. And even after initiation, there is slight residual karma left over. Like when you pull the plug out on a fan, the blade is still turning, but it's coming to a stop. So before initiation, definitely you're dealing with a lot of karma. Yeah. But if you know it's, if you're not creating any new karma, I'll give you an example. I have a disciple in the U.S. going to visit him actually in January, as soon as I get to the U.S. But he came down with terminal cancer. He just decided he was a Catholic priest. Decided he didn't like the Catholic Church. He decided to become a Hare Krishna devotee instead. And as soon as he made that, he was strong and healthy. And as soon as he made this decision to become a devotee, he came down with cancer, terminal cancer. He may be gone. I'm just going to see if he's still here. But I'd call him up. Rishikesh, how are you doing? He'd be in bliss. He'd say, I'm burning off all... Actually, this is before his initiation. But he says, I'm burning off all the karma. My sins are being burned off. So he was actually happy. He was enlivened. In spite of his being in a very, very pitiful, you could say, you know, from a material viewpoint, situation. He was happily seeing, well, more karma, every bit of suffering was more karma being burned off, getting freed from that, so many reactions. So a devotee actually has nothing to lament. He celebrates everything. Even when his karma is coming, he's saying, well, I deserve this, and Prabhupada explains the devotee thinks, I deserve much worse, because I'm practicing Krishna consciousness, the karma has been minimized. So there's some answer. Any other, that satisfy what you were trying to understand?
Partly.
All right, and the rest of it?
If something happens to us, which then means that we can't perform practical service for a while, for example, if we dislocated a finger in one of our hands, what does that mean? Because it's like an obstacle to our service. First of all, I don't know.
Yes, actually obstacles are opportunities. Yes. When one comes to an obstacle, then you have to deepen your Krishna consciousness to overcome that obstacle. If on some level you're finding you're blocked in your progress, that means you have to go deeper into the process. If you do that, then you'll find that on a deeper level the obstacle isn't even there. So obstacles are opportunities to deepen your Krishna consciousness. For an advanced transcendentalist, there's no such thing as an obstacle. Everything is a springboard for spiritual advancement. That's why Kunti Devi, as I love to quote, she's praying for obstacles. Vipada shantutashasya tatra tatra jagandra. Krishna, give me more obstacles. I love them. Please, give me more trouble, more difficulties. So for one is who in this mood of Queen Kunti, there's no such thing as a reverse condition. Everything is positive. There's no negative thing for an advanced devotee. Everything is positive. Everything they experience, they see here is another opportunity to go deeper and deeper into Krishna consciousness. See, a devotee doesn't depend on external things. Doesn't need them. Someone who is fixed in Krishna consciousness, you can take everything away from that devotee. Such a devotee prays Krishna, you can take everything away from me, but just one thing I ask for, let me never forget you. See, that's all the devotee needs to be happy. You can take away everything. You can take away his health, his wealth, his family, his possessions. You can take absolutely everything away from a pure devotee. And he has only one thing, only one request of Krishna. My dear Lord, you can take everything away, but just let me never forget you. That's my only request. And Krishna will happily grant that request. If you can simply remember Krishna, you can lose everything else, and you're okay. Any other questions? Questions? Yes?
Why do material desires destroy enthusiasm for devotion?
Very nice question. Why do material desires destroy our enthusiasm for devotional service? Actually, enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness can never be destroyed. It can only be covered. You can't really destroy it because jivera svarupa hoy Krishna nityadas, the constitutional position of the living being, is he's the pure devotee of Krishna, actually. Everyone is constitutionally devotee of Krishna. So you can never destroy that enthusiasm for bhakti. All you can do is cover it or cloud it. There can be a pure light shining, but you come through a filter then. You can color it so it comes out as a blue color or a green color because it's coming through a filter. So when that pure love, that pure enthusiasm to serve Krishna is filtered through material desires, then it becomes something different that's not satisfying, actually. So that's why we chaito darpana marjanam, that's why we have to clean the mirror of the mind by this nama sankirtan, the ultimate self-realization technique. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That, you see, actually the enthusiasm is still there. It just becomes pervertedly manifested. You see, instead of becoming enthusiastic to serve Krishna, we become enthusiastic for sex life, you see. Enthusiastic for the tongue, the genital pleasure, you see. And enthusiasm becomes invested in the material energy of Krishna. We're still enthusiastic about Krishna, but just we're going after his shadow instead of his original Krishna. So love of Krishna is still there. It's just we're going to his material nature. And that doesn't really satisfy us. If I bring, after you've been working hard all day, and I bring you the Sunday feast, a nice plate, and I bring them, and I say, okay, then I bring one mirror with the reflection of your feast plate, and I hand you the mirror and say, okay, enjoy the feast. Try to eat that mirror and see how satisfied you can get. So, we're simply taking the reflection. We're still enthusiastic about Krishna, but we're taking the reflection, the perverted reflection. Become very enthusiastic about it, you see. That yes, this Radha Krishna is very nice. I will be Krishna and I will have my Radha, you see. It's perverted reflection. Instead of serving that Radha Krishna, we try to imitate Radha Krishna. And that same enthusiasm for devotional service, but it's just, you know, we just perverted reflection of the same thing. So all you have to do is straighten it out again, bring it back to its original pure form. And that's why the system of bhakti yoga is there. You take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master who monitors you and constantly blesses you and guides you. You take shelter of the association of the Vaishnavas who are always there to help keep you on track, keep you in touch with the divine instructions of Śrīla Prabhupāda. In this way, everything is very nicely arranged, that enthusiasm you have for Krishna, but the inferior form of Krishna, can now be transferred back to its original position, the original Krishna. That enthusiasm will again come back to the original form. Questions, Mark? Everyone else has understood everything, realized every truth about Krishna consciousness. Nothing further to be known.
Can you give an example of how Krishna is unlimitedly able to become more dear?
He's unlimited in end.
How he's unlimitedly able to become more dear?
Yeah, that's right.
Can you give an example?
Yes. Krishna can be... Prabhupada explains in this way. He says that Krishna, when one takes this complete position, total dedication that I am Krishna's, totally, purely absorbed in that mentality, I am Krishna's, then the opposite also becomes the fact, Krishna is mine. If we can purely be on the platform of I am the property of Krishna, without any conditions, absolutely, totally, with every thought, word, and deed, in all time, places, and circumstances, that I am the property of Krishna, then Krishna will become our personal property. The devotee becomes the owner of Krishna. Krishna is a jita, he is unconquerable. But he becomes jita by the devotee's love. He becomes the property of that devotee. This was the great realization of that illiterate Brahmin in South India during the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. He could not read. His Guru Maharaj had ordered him to read the Bhagavad Gita 18 chapters daily. They would make fun of him because he would sit there and look at it. But he was actually meditating in ecstasy. He was in a state of transcendental ecstasy, meditating how Krishna is so kind that he acts as the charioteer of his devotee. So Krishna, in an unlimited number of ways, will play a particular role for each and every particular devotee. For Arjuna, he played the charioteer. For Yashoda, he played the Nadi Damodar. For every one of his devotees, he will play a unique role for that particular devotee. This is the omnipotence of God. So, there's nothing else. We will stop here, and we thank you all very much for your wonderful loving kindness and tolerance of us while we are here. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāya. Antarab Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. If anyone wants darshan of Sri Sri Radha Damodar, this is their last day and they're really, really beautiful this morning. The darshan is available right after breakfast. Upstairs in the sannyas room.